We sang a lot today about joy, about needing God. There's a lot of times in life where we don't think we need God. There's other times we know we can't do it without Him. And I don't know what season you're in or what place in life you're in right now. Maybe you're in a season of, man, things are really good, and I don't like feel like I need God that much. You're not desperate for Him. I believe we should always be at a place of needing God and desperate for Him. Even if it's just somebody else in our life, that we can be desperate for them as well. I've had a pretty rough year in my life. A lot of things happen, a lot of broken friendships, relationships. Many of you know, a younger brother of mine committed suicide a few months ago. My uncle just passed away this past week. And I'll be honest, coming here today, I'm like, God, I need You. It's hard to have joy when I look at circumstances in my life. I feel like God showed me this verse, and I want to read it to you out of Psalm 32. He says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has declared, has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. More than once, God's had to remind me, go back to your record of wrong. Your record of sin has been wiped away. That what Jesus did on the cross was more than enough to pay for my sin, to pay for my wrongdoing. The reality is we all have sin. And we need Jesus. We need a forgiver of our sin and a leader into our future. And whenever you're feeling like, man, look at my circumstances, look at the economy, look at the world, go back to what I believe God showed me, is go back to that, what joy we can have when we remember what we've been saved from and what we've been saved for. If you have a relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus Christ has done, that joy is ours to be had. We get to choose it. We get to choose to trust in Him as we walk forward. If you haven't begun that relationship, I believe today could be your day. You can say yes to choosing Jesus. Begin that relationship with God. Choose to accept the work that Jesus did for you, for your sins that could be wiped away, and you can experience the joy of the Lord, maybe like you've never had in your life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God, for what You did for us. God, even if You never do another good thing in our life, or if we never get anything else, God, You've already done enough. God, You paid the greatest debt that any of us could ever have, yet none of us could ever pay. So Father, we thank You for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your love. God, I pray for right now, if there's anybody here who doesn't have a relationship with You, they don't know for absolute certainty where they're going to spend eternity. God, they'd make today the day of salvation. They'd make today the day they choose joy. They choose You over their circumstances, over anything that we can do. God, we thank You. We trust You. We put our faith in You and You alone for the forgiveness of our sins. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Worship team, you guys can come on down as well. We're going to transition to a little bit of different way of worshiping, and that's receiving our tithes and offering. It's a time of giving today. We always have a time of giving. There are several ways to give. And in light of what I just read in Psalm 32, you know, part of the reason I give is simply because of what God has already given to me. I've been given a new life. I've been given a great family, a great church, a great number of friendships and relationships. So I choose to give not just of my treasure, but of my time, of my talent, and really my entire life to God. That I want to be someone who says thank you to God and lives my life as a thank you to Him. And I believe every one of us can grow in our giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And maybe just to encourage you to take a step of faith and saying, God, I want to give back to You. I want to show You my gratitude, my thanksgiving for what You've done in and through my life. So the ways to give are on the screen. We do have kiosk and basket in the back if you have check or cash or want to pay that way. So let's pray for our offering before our next step. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for today. God, we thank you that you are a generous God. God, that you've provided so, so much for us. God, I pray for this offering right now. God, that you'd multiply it. You'd give us the wisdom and direction to how to best and most effectively reach your people, to build your church and expand your kingdom. God, have your way through our church. God, use us to do whatever you wish to do so we see as many people as possible begin a relationship with you and become fully devoted followers of yours. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We have a special treat for you today. I'm not going to talk the rest of the time. I'm going to pass it over to our guest speaker, guest pastor, Pastor Gary Hayes. This is a man who I've known for many years now. I've gotten to see him operate in his ministry. He operates in the prophetic ministry primarily, but he has a pastor's heart. He has a heart for the local church. He has a heart for people. I see the love that he has for just people. People he's never met before. He just so genuinely cares for people. He's at our house yesterday evening ministering to some couples, ministering to people, and just seeing how much he loves people. And I want to read to you briefly out of 1 Corinthians 14, because what he's doing, if you've never been exposed to prophetic ministry, what this is we're hearing from God. He's going to hear from God and speak to us as a church body, but also as individuals or as couples, and we want to hear from God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with hearing from God, right? That's always a good thing when God speaks. But I want to read to you just a little bit about prophecy. It starts in 1 Corinthians 14. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. He's here today to strengthen our entire church, to strengthen us, to edify, to encourage, to empower, to comfort. That's what he's here to do, to minister. So we're going to let him loose. And I want you to just be open and receptive to whatever God may be speaking to you. We give a couple guidelines just so as you know what to do with a prophetic word. One is you can record on your phone. Record if he's speaking to you. You can record it so that you can listen to it later to make sure you heard clearly what was being communicated. And secondly, once you receive a prophetic word, is we always compare it to the Bible. Anytime somebody speaks to you, gives a prophecy or prophetic word, compare it to the Bible. The word, does it line up with what the word of God says? If it says something that's opposite or contrary to the word, it's probably not God. But if it lines up with the word, it's confirmed by the word, then it's probably God. If it draws you closer to God, it's probably God. If it drives you away from God, it's probably not. Very simple, basic processing, but that's a very important start of how do you, what do you do with a prophetic word? Also, take your word to somebody you trust, you know, who can help you spiritually. Your pastor, myself, one of your group leaders, somebody in your relationship who's discipling you. People in your life who can help you understand and hear, what is this applying to me? How does this apply to me? What steps do I maybe need to take? And there's also a God part and an us part. Sometimes a prophecy is given. It doesn't mean you change everything and you go move to another country right away. Sometimes that is the case. Not always. But sometimes it takes time for words to come to pass. Many times it's decades. But there's a us part. What does God want me to do? And then there's often a God part. God, what are you going to do? If something I can't do, what he's letting us know as we go forward. A couple of those guidelines, just so you have those in your mind as you're processing, as we're following up with words today. But I want to encourage you, let's be open and receptive to what God is speaking. This is a great man of God. He's a faithful man. We trust him. I trust him. I see that love in him. So let's welcome Pastor Gary Hayes to the stage.
What time do you finish? 11:15. Okay, good morning. It's wonderful to be with you guys. I'm from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, so it's a steel city. We still have steel mills, so I feel kind of a little bit home here. I'm not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, sorry. I'm actually not an NFL fan. I just, you know, occasionally I'll watch a football game. But I'm honored to be here. We've had a great week already. On Friday night I was here ministering to a group, and then Saturday we had a whole day of training, 3 hours of training, and then a couple of groups yesterday, and then today we're here, and then tonight we're going to do another ministry, and then I'm on a plane tomorrow morning. So it's been a packed week. Just a little bit of information about me. I run a ministry called Speak Life Global. My wife and I, we travel around the world. We just got back on Tuesday from Australia and Singapore. So I'm a little bit jet lagged. You all look really great, but I'm not sure if my mind is working completely. It's a joy to just come to churches and strengthen churches. Last year, we went to 83 churches. And so we're in churches all the time. We travel almost every week somewhere in the world. And so it's an honor to be with you guys. Before I jump out and minister to a bunch of you, obviously we're not going to be able to minister to everybody unless you want to be here till midnight, and we'll get that done. But I have a thought that I want to drop in your heart this morning. As I was walking this week, actually, I'm not a dreamer. I see visions most of the time, but I had a dream this week. And so I had this dream, and it was so vivid. And as I was walking, I got up and I went for a walk, and I'm trying to do my 10,000 steps. Anybody trying to do your 10,000 steps? It's much harder than you think. But so I'll do this a little bit today. As I was walking, I was thinking, just kind of meditating on the dream that I had. And to be honest with you, just a deep sadness and a disappointment came into my heart. And so as I was praying about that, I was saying, God, like, what's the deal here? Like, the specific dream, I felt like I dealt with all that stuff years ago. And but the Lord said, well, I'm bringing you to this place, and I want you to say something to the people. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about disappointment. Anybody have a disappointment? Yeah. How many are walking through maybe a disappointment right now? You know, disappointment, let me just give you a definition, right? Disappointment is, simply put, is the feeling of sadness, displeasure, or frustration that arises when our hopes and desires do not materialize as expected. It involves a gap between our expectations and reality, leading to various emotional, behavioral, and mental outcomes. So as I was looking this up, you know, there's certain words that we would think about disappointment. So let me give you a couple of them. Failure. Anybody have any failure? Failure. Misfortune. How about a body blow? You ever felt like the wind just got knocked out of you? Anybody? Like I felt that. You know, it's amazing. This year, I've been traveling now for 12 years. And this year, I've had more disappointment in this year than in the previous 12 years combined. And so I feel like the Lord's trying to take me through a journey of dealing with disappointment. And so I'm just going to flesh it out with you as I'm walking through disappointment, right? And just to encourage you that God is in the midst of your disappointment. Amen? And listen, God doesn't want us to live in our disappointment. He wants us to walk through it and get onto the other side, because the other side of disappointment is an appointment. God has plans, and he wants to move us into certain plans that he has for us. Can I hear an amen to that? And so here's a couple words. Let down. Anybody been let down? Like, I've been let down by leaders this year. It's been a very interesting year. How about a setback? How about, like, you took one right in the eye? You know, just a body blow or punch in the eye. How about this? Like a non-starter or a non-event. Like you felt you were going to go somewhere and then it just failed, right? Non-starter. How about anti-climax? A fiasco. Okay, nobody wants a fiasco, but sometimes that creates disappointment. A debacle. Yeah, I've had a couple of those. Reversal. Disaster. Just a flat-out dud. That's disappointment, right? It's that thing that creates this sadness or this overwhelming sense of, I don't really want to do anything. And you know what happens with disappointment? This is the truth. You want to isolate yourself. And that's what disappointment does. It causes you to want to isolate and get away from things and, you know, just cocoon in your own little world, right? All through the Bible, there's all these different characters. Now, we're not going to take time to read every scripture, okay? But if you're just taking notes, would you take these scriptures down and you can look at them later? In Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 and 32, Abraham, he's called Abram at this point, but he becomes Abraham. Abraham's father, his name is Terah. And Terah, the Bible says he had two sons. He had a son named Haran, and then he had Abram. And Haran's son was Lot. And so Terah says to Abraham, and he says to Lot, we're going to go to Canaan. So let's head out to Canaan. And in the story, it says Haran died. So Lot's dad died. Terah's son died, Haran. And then Terah says, now let's go to Canaan. Now Canaan, we all know, represents the land of promise, right? That's where everybody, God was taking people into the land of promise. And then this scripture, what it says is that as they traveled, they came to a place called Haran. Now, Haran was Terah's son, and there was a city named Haran. So potentially, I'm not trying to read into scripture, but potentially Haran could have landed in the city of Haran, his name. And Terah came to Haran, and the Bible says he lived a certain amount of years, and then he died. In other words, he never got to the promised land. Do you know why? Because he lived in his disappointment. And what, this is not original with me, but I've learned this, that if you don't get through your biggest relational disappointment, you'll never get to your promised land. Church, people will disappoint us. Leaders will disappoint us. I've had people walk out of my life, just like you mentioned, you know. I've had people walk out of my life, good friends, people that was the best man in their wedding, walk out of my life. And if I've learned anything, I can't stay in that disappointment, because if I stay in that disappointment, I will not get to my promised land. I had a friend years ago. He was much older than me, an older man, really great man. He came into the church first. He kind of talked like Kermit the Frog. And so he goes, hi, how you doing? You know, I go, hi, I'm Gary. And he goes, hi, my name's Peter. And I said, Pete, would you like to go for coffee? He goes, sure, I'd like to go for coffee, you know. And so we became this great friend. And he became this great friend. We had some interests together. We golfed together. He became one of my leaders in our church. And we just had this amazing, amazing relationship. And it was just one of those brother-to-brother relationships. And probably the other thing, too, around that time, my father passed away. So here's this older guy, and he just kind of maybe was a little bit of a father figure to me. And, for about 8 years, you know, we just had this amazing relationship. And at Christmas time, I married his son and future daughter-in-law. And then we had a disagreement. There was a disagreement about something, and it wasn't like my fault. It wasn't his fault. We just had a disagreement, and I was gonna kind of stand my ground on something, and he didn't like that. And so he came to me on January 2nd. He took me out for lunch, and he gave me a letter. And in that letter, he said, thank you very much for all you've done in my life, but I'm leaving the church. I don't want anything to do with you. Do not contact me. I was like, thank you, Jesus. What a warm, fuzzy moment. You know, the joy of the Lord was so evident in that moment. And I remember praying and just going before the Lord. And I was like, you know how Samuel was with Saul? You know, Saul had disobeyed God, and Samuel's lamenting and said, oh God, you know, what about me? And the Lord speaks to him and says, like, you know, what are you doing? Get up. I'm going to anoint somebody else. And I really felt like the Lord, as I was praying, the Lord spoke this to me. He said, Gary, if you will not let this person go in your life, I cannot bring people into your life who will help you get to your destiny. And so as I prayed and just let that thing go and let forgiveness take place in my heart and let a release come into my spirit, I let that go. And you know what? In a span of about 2 or 3 years, God brought people into my life that actually helped me get to where I am literally today. And I'm here to tell you, listen, if you're living in disappointment, don't hold on to that disappointment, church. Because if you do, you're never going to get to your promised land. God wants you to get to your promised land. Come on, how many want to get to the promised land? Listen, let me give you another scripture. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we might put it up on the screen if you would. And I'm not going to read it. Well, I can read it because I can see it here. Oh, I'm going to read it. Now Ahab, okay, told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Now Elijah is this great prophet, right? He had this encounter. He had this amazing encounter with the prophets of Baal. Some say 450. It could have been even 850. And he's just jousting with them. And he's, you know, making fun of them. And they're cutting themselves, trying to get their God to do things, and he goes, God, just do it. And God just sends a firebolt in down from heaven and licks up all the water and burns up the sacrifices, and then he says, no, just wipe these guys out. So Jezebel hears about it, right? So he's had this incredible God moment. Have you ever had an incredible God moment? How many, right? But it's in that moment, if we're not careful, the enemy can seize and begin to lay a seed of disappointment into our spirit. Watch what he says. He said, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And then he says, and he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. He just had this amazing experience. And now he's saying, God, take me, Jesus, take me home. It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He laid down and slept under the juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, arise, eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came to him a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb. Horeb is the mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments. It's the place of revelation, the mountain of God. Then he came there to the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? You know, sometimes when you're in disappointment, that's the question God comes to ask you. Hey, what are you doing here? What are you in the cave? The cave is a place of isolation. It's a place, it's damp. It's kind of rugged. It's just bugs. And, you know, this is this cave. And he's this mighty man of God. And he's in the cave. And God says to him, hey, what are you doing here? Listen, there's more for you. And church, I don't know where you're at in this season of your life, but I know this. What God is trying to teach me is the enemy is always trying to keep me in a cave of disappointment, disillusionment, despair, whatever it is. And if I don't do something about it, I'll live there and I'll miss the appointments that God has for me. In 2 Samuel chapter, I think it's 7, we have a story of David. And David has in his heart, he has this dream in his heart to build the temple of God. He wants to build a place where God can live, right? And the prophet comes to him and says, do what is in your heart. Go ahead, do it. And then as he walks away from the king, the Lord speaks to the prophet and says, go tell David he's not the guy to build the kingdom, the temple. He's been a man of war. And so the prophet comes back to him and says, hey, David, you can't do that. See, David had to live with disappointment too. But what did David do with his disappointment? Instead of dealing with his disappointment and living in his disappointment, the Bible says he prepared for the next generation. And he began to put plans together. And he got all the finances together. And God said, your son will be the one who will build a temple for me. And as I've been praying and just meditating on these scriptures, you know, the Lord really has been speaking to me is that if I live in my disappointment, there's things that will never be accomplished in the next generation. That I actually, if I step out of my disappointment and I begin to prepare and I begin to do things that actually my son and my grandson, any grandparents here? Grandkids are awesome, aren't they? Like, my son doesn't really matter anymore. It's my grandson, you know? No offense to if you're a kid, you know, but my grandson matters about everything. And but listen, if I live in my disappointment, potentially, my son's generation and then his son's generation will miss out because I'm still living in my disappointment. One last scripture in the book of Matthew and Luke. In Luke chapter 7, John the Baptist is in prison. He's in prison. And he's called out one of the Herod of Antipas. He's called him out because he had committed adultery. And John is now in prison. And John says, he sends his disciples to Jesus. And he says to his disciples, is Jesus the one? Is he the Messiah? Now, you remember John the Baptist saw the dove coming down and he said, I'm not worthy to even wear his sandals. In this moment, he's in this place where he knows his end is near and he's beginning to doubt and he's beginning to wonder, is this the truth? Listen to this scripture. It says this. Jesus said this. He talks about John. And he says to his disciples, go tell John what you see. What you see. In other words, John probably had an expectation. Lord, you're going to come deliver me. Because you're the Messiah. You're the one who's going to change everything. You're going to come and deliver me. And Jesus, come and, you know, take over the kingdom and bring the kingdom of God and I'll get free. And yet, John gets beheaded. Right? And this is what Jesus says. He says this. He says, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And I've been thinking about this. Like, I may not be accurate 100% here, but when I read that scripture, this is the thought. Sometimes I want Jesus to be, I have a perspective of how I want Jesus to be, and it's not who Jesus is. And sometimes if I'm not careful, I can let my perspective cause me to get offended at Jesus because I expect Jesus to do certain things and Jesus saying, that's not who I'm going to be. Does that make sense? And so I just want to say to you, I want to make sure I got enough time to minister to people. But here's the scripture. Jesus said, he said, who is not offended. In other words, what the word is stumbling block. In other words, just because Jesus doesn't answer the way I want him to answer, right? Don't let that be a stumbling block to who he really is. He's the one who can deliver us. He's the one who can set us free. I want to finish just by saying this. Three things to get out of your disappointment. Number one, just like Elijah, sometimes you just got to need a rest. You got to have sleep. How many like sleep? You know, sometimes that's what happened with him. The Lord fed him. He got a good meal. And then he went to sleep. And then he woke up again. And the Lord fed him. And he went back to sleep. Sometimes when you're walking through disappointment, just stop. Get rest. Settle your heart. Settle your mind. God just wants you to have a rest. He's in control. Come on, can I hear an amen? Amen? Second is, ask yourself, why am I here? What am I holding on to? What am I letting become the focus of my heart? Elijah, what are you here? Why are you here? The third thing, in that story, we have the Lord saying to Elijah, come out of the cave because I want to speak to you. Come out of the cave because I want to speak to you. And church, in your disappointment, God wants to speak to you. But you got to come out of the cave. You got to make a choice to step out and say, I'm not going to live in my disappointment. People will disappoint you. Leaders will disappoint you. Circumstances will disappoint you. But don't live in that cave. Say, today I'm going to walk out of the cave and I'm going to listen for his voice. Because he's going to speak to you. Amen? He's going to speak to you. Let me finish this up by just saying, telling you a bit of a story. This summer, or actually this spring, I was in a nation, And honestly, to be honest with you, I got completely disappointed. I had a kind of a contract that was agreed upon, and when I taught for 11 hours, I don't normally come within a contract, but in this particular place, I felt like I needed a set of contract, and so it was agreed. The contract was agreed, and so as I ministered and did all this, literally the contract was like null and void. And I didn't even get like a third of what we agreed on, and so I live by faith. You know, like I don't have a job. This is my job. What I'm doing, so it just set a huge disappointment in my spirit. My son was with me, and he was trying to encourage me, and I'd never felt this before. But as I was standing, literally to teach, I felt like energy drained out of me. Has anybody ever felt that? Just energy drain out of you? I'd never felt that in all my life. And all of a sudden, I felt energy drain out of me. And so I've gone through different times of disappointment. And I began to pray, and I began to seek the Lord. And, you know, I had to forgive this individual because I was still with that individual, so I had to forgive him. And I just began to do what I just said to you. I didn't stay in the cave. I went out, and I let the Lord begin to speak to me. And the Lord just said, Gary, I'm in control. I got it. I'll fix it. Don't worry about it. Do you know, within 24 hours, one of my largest donors, he texted me out of the blue. I'm in the other side of the world. He texted me out of the blue and said, hey, are you okay? I said, why? He goes, because your face has come before my face 5 times. Are you okay? I said, well, actually, no, I'm not okay. And he said, let's talk tomorrow. So I called him tomorrow, and he said, listen, this is what he said. He said, listen, before you say anything, the Lord's been speaking to me, and I'm sending you this amount of money. You don't need to worry about it. Now, what's going on? And you know, the amount he sent made up the difference of what I lost. God is a faithful God, church. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a second? I want to just pray into this. I don't know if this made any sense to you this morning, but I just felt like, hey, I just need to share that, because if you're living in disappointment, God wants you to come out of your disappointment. Would you bow your heads and just close your eyes? Father, I just pray for every person here today. I pray that you would just speak to them. If they're walking through disappointment, loss, disappointment, and even despair, there's things that have happened in their life, or even they're walking through things right now. Lord, things didn't turn out the way they thought it should, and it's caused them to be sad. It's caused them to maybe isolate and pull away from community. I pray today, Lord, that you would just speak into them. If you're here today and you would agree, hey, I'm walking through some disappointment, would you just put up your hand? I want to pray for you. Amen. I just want to pray for you, because God wants to speak over you today. He wants to come, and he wants to breathe on you. Just as we sang this morning, listen, you may have lost some friends. You may have lost some relationships. You may have lost some deals that fell through, or promotion. The Lord is here to heal. He's here to strengthen you. So just keep your hand up, and I want to just pray for you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, pray for every hand that is up right now. Lord, whatever the disappointment is, Lord, we don't want to live there. We acknowledge it, God. We acknowledge that it's there, but we want to walk from this place. We want to come out of the cave, and we want you to speak into our spirit. Lord, you're a God that loves us and cares for us. Lord, your plans are good to give us a future and a hope. And so, Father, I'm asking you to just work in our heart, work in everybody's heart right now. I pray you would heal hearts right now. I pray over this church. You know, I just sense in my heart that you guys have walked through stuff, and I just hear the Lord saying, I'm the God of the now. I'm the God who will work it all out. I'm the God who will make things right. Don't worry. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So God, I just lift everybody right now in the name of Jesus. I pray you'd heal hearts right now. Just, would you do me a favor? Would you just give that, whatever that is, that disappointment, say, Jesus, I give it to you. Just tell him right now, Jesus, I give that disappointment to you. It might be a person. Lord, I just forgive that person right now. And just let him begin to heal your heart, because he's going to. He's a good God and he loves you. He cares about you. Just every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you've never invited him, or maybe you walked away from him and you need to come back to him. If you're here and you'd say, Gary, I need to invite Jesus in your heart, would you put up your hand nice and high? I just want to pray for you. I want to just ask the Lord. We do this all over the world. Okay, I see your hand. Thank you very much. Thank you. Church, would everybody pray this, and you put your hands up. Just pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I come to you today. I ask that you would come into my heart. I ask that you would forgive me of all of my sin. Change me. Transform me in your name. I choose today to open my heart, open my mind to you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, just see me after, or see Pastor after, and we'll get you some information. Let me read you one last scripture, and then we'll jump out. This is what Paul says. He says, the confidence of my calling enables me to overcome every difficulty without shame. For I have an intimate revelation of this God, and my faith in him convinces me that he is more than able to keep what I have placed in his hands, safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing. Listen, God wants to enable you. Amen? Was that okay? All right, let me come down. Again, get your phones out. We'll go as long as Pastor says I can go. And we'll just minister to as many people as we can. I always write some things down in my notes so I'm prepared. And if you have your phones, make sure you get them out. How many have never had personal prophecy? Okay. Well, we'll try to get to you. And just believe the Lord will speak to you. Amen. What are you guys together? Are you married?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. And what are your names?
Mary.
Marion.
Jared.
And Jared. Okay, because they might be taping this. I don't know if they are. But let me read you the scripture in 1 Thessalonians. It says this. 1 Thessalonians says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. You know, when I saw you guys, the thing that really struck me is just the work of your labor and your laborers. I see your laborers in the kingdom. I see God using you, and I see God touching your life. Today, the Lord is going to put an armor on you, a strength in you. The work of faith, the labor of love, that those are two different words, really. One means the work of faith is that it's a joy. You know, faith brings joy. And so there's this beautiful joy as you work in faith, as you love God, as you serve God and serve the kingdom of God and working with generations and ministering to them. But then there's the labor of love. Sometimes that labor means actually hard work. Sometimes loving people is hard work. And it produces a lot of, you know, angst and frustration, and you're just getting going. I just sense that you guys are just getting going. And so I want to encourage you that God is going to give you grace to love deeply. He's going to give you grace to love and rescue people. I see God using you to rescue many, many people out of all kinds of addictions and drugs and identity issues. God is going to use you guys. And then patience of hope, that God would work in you just this message of hope of eternity. And you're going to be people who will go into different places reach people and bring hope to them. Help bring expectation of good things. I see you working with people who are struggling with mental health issues, and God is going to give you grace to speak into them and put hope into their spirit. The Lord wants to use you guys in a powerful way, and it's not that he's not now, but I just sense in my spirit God's doing great things. And God will bless you greatly. I just sense that there's great blessing coming to your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys together? What are your names?
Bruce.
Hannah. Awesome. I'm going to come behind you. Just for sake of time, I'm just going to give you a scripture and then you can kind of look it up. Romans 8:26. It talks about how the Spirit helps us when we don't know what to do. And, you know, sometimes it's specific about prayer, but the Spirit helps us. And I just hear the word saying, my Spirit is helping you. This is a season where you're going to feel the Spirit of God come over you and begin to move. The mountains are going to be brought down. The valleys will be brought high. The crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places will be made smooth. And God's going to give grace to you in this season to speak into things. I see both of you having the ability to speak into things and begin to minister. And there's a teaching anointing on you that you would teach and instruct others how to let the Spirit of God work in their hearts. And the Bible says the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. And so even as you felt at times there's weakness, the Lord says, my Spirit is helping you, and you will help others, those that are weak, weak in mind, weak in heart, weak in even physicality. The Lord says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you strength to speak into their heart. Both of you will be people that will speak to many, many people and help them. And the Lord's going to help you. I don't know what you guys need in this season, but the Lord says, I am your help. I am your strength, and I will help you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did I minister to you guys? No. Okay, you guys drove me today, yeah. Right? Your names again, Noah and
Maggie.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just for reference, the psalm I want to give you is Psalm 45. And Psalm 45, I just want to read one verse. Psalm 45, it says this. My heart is overflowing with good with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. In other words, you know, there's something about you guys in communication. And what I believe the Lord's going to do in this season is going to elevate your ability to communicate. And, you know, that pen of a ready writer is just that ability to write things and just communicate. And I just sense in my heart, the Lord says, I'm going to anoint your heart, and I'm going to put themes into your spirit, and you're going to have a strategy, and you're going to have ability to accomplish much that's in your heart, much that's in your life. You're going to see the hand of God begin to unlock skills and abilities, and that's going to cause open doors to take place for the two of you. You're going to see the Lord do great things, because the themes that God's going to put in your heart are going to be ideas and things that are needed in the moment. And you're going to be called in. I just see you called into things, and you're going to have something well up in your spirit, and you'll be able to speak it with such clarity that it'll bring resolve. It'll bring a sense of excitement and a sense of joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, sweetheart, what's your name?
Tina.
How old are you? 17. Awesome. Awesome. The scripture, I'm just going to stand here. I don't mean to have my back to you. The scripture says in Psalm 27, the scripture talks about, I would have lost hope had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you're just young. You're just getting going. I mean, I was 17. I just gave my heart to Christ. I was messed up on drugs. You're farther ahead than I was. You're in church. I wasn't even in church, but I want you to know something, young lady. The Lord's put a beautiful gift, talents. I just hear talents, many talents on your life. And this is the season of exploration. It's the season where God is going to allow you to explore different things, different talents, different giftings are going to come, and you're going to land. I see you landing on things that just stir your heart and get you excited. And you're going to be a young lady that will help people who have lost hope come into the land of the living. And you're going to be someone who will have great joy, great joy. I see creativity on your life. I see dance and music and song, and even prophetic anointing will come in your heart. You're going to have a sharp mind, and God is going to use you. Many, many talents. You know, it's like if I can say it this way, like a bag full of marbles. That's what I see. You know what marbles are?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm old, so, you know, I used to play marbles, but I see a bag full of marbles, and each marble represents a gift and a talent, And you're going to pick one out at different times, and you're going to begin to use that. And God's going to use you. So can I say this to you? Just give everything you have to God. Like, just give it all to God, sweetheart, because God's going to anoint you. I see at a very young age, God's going to anoint you. He's going to open doors for study. He's going to open doors for opportunity. And you're going to be amazed at all the different gifts that God bestows on you. I've mentioned a few, but there's more coming. And just whatever delights your heart, just go after it and watch what God will do. God is going to be faithful to you. You be faithful to him, and he will be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What's your name?
Jolie.
Nice to meet you. Hey, I just want to say something to you. I just see the Lord opening your eyes in this season and giving you clarity of vision. And God's going to, the Bible says that the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord has made them both. And we know that in the natural that's true, but in the spiritual, there's spiritual eyes. And there's a scripture in Kings where Elisha, his servant, they were surrounded by the enemy. And Elisha comes out and says, hey, there's more for us than against us. And the servant is freaking out. He's saying, what are you talking about? And the prophet says, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And all of a sudden, the Lord opened his eyes and the hosts of heaven's armies were surrounding them. And there was certainly more for us than against us. I want you to know there's more for you than against you. This season where God's going to give you clarity of vision, you're going to begin to see things as they are, not as they were, but as they are. And you're going to begin to have fresh perspective. And God is going to give you the ability to see things that others would not be able to see. And this is a season of clarity. And I see you even having conversations with people and bringing clarity to things. And almost in a prophetic way, just nudging them to clarity, nudging them to see differently. God's going to give you fresh perspective. So get ready in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, you guys together? Yeah. What are your names?
Dave.
Nicole. Awesome. Nice to meet you. Exodus 33 is a great scripture, and I'll just say one thought in that. Moses and God are having this conversation, right? And God says, go. And Moses says, we're not going to go if your presence doesn't go with us. And God says, my presence will go with you. And I want you to know God says, go, because his presence is going to be with you. I believe that this is a season where God is, can I say it this way? He's moving things. He's removing things. And he's making a way where there is no way. And his presence is going to go with you. I just see on your life, sister, I see this ability to get things done. And it would be easy in the natural to just say, we can get it all done. But I want you to know something. God is going to accelerate what you are involved in. And its presence is going to go with you. When God goes with you, you can accomplish much more in this next season. This is a season where God says, I'm going to cause you to accomplish much more. There's going to come an acceleration of things, even projects. I just see projects before you, and I see the Lord saying, I'm going to open those projects, and I'm going to accelerate them. And your hands are going to hold the results of those projects, and you're going to rejoice. Because you're going to say, it's only by God's grace that we were able to even accomplish half of what we've accomplished. God's presence has been with us. So receive his grace in this season and watch what God will do in Jesus' name. Hey, what's your name?
Pharaoh.
Pharaoh.
Yes.
Pharaoh. I don't know if it was you, but I heard a voice from behind as I was up there. And I just heard this booming voice. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I just want to tell you, there's a spirit of faith in you. And there's a spirit of promise in you. And there's a spirit of expectation in you. And God is saying, this is the time for you to be bold in your prayers. Be bold in your declarations. Be bold in your belief of God. Because God says, I'm about to do miracles for you and your family. I'm going to cause my spirit to come upon you. And you're going to rise up and you're going to begin to declare. I see you praying. I see you reading your Bible. And the Lord says, I've seen all that. And I'm about to move in a mighty way. I'm going to touch the very thing that's closest to your heart. The thing that sometimes, even at times, keeps you up in prayer at night. The Lord says, I'm going to move. And I'm going to cause things to change. This is going to be the season of change in Jesus' name. So get ready.
Thank you.
Amen? You receive that?
Yes, I do.
I'm telling you, you're a woman of faith, and God rewards faith. So stand your ground. Hey, what's your name?
Krista.
Krista, I felt, just as I said that to her, I felt like I was looking at you, and what I heard is stand your ground. Don't move. Don't move. Stand your ground. I just feel to tell you, like, I see you standing your ground and saying, I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. I am faithful. I am committed, and I'm not moving. And I'm telling you, listen, there's something that when you make that declaration and you stand, I believe I saw literally things shift in my spirit. I saw God begin to move in a mighty way. And what's going to happen, what I see in my spirit and I hear in my heart, is hearts will change in this season because you're willing to stand your ground. Don't move, right? Like, I'm not saying don't move, like, in a, don't have activity. You got to do stuff, right? But what I'm saying is, in your spirit, have a resolve that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because God is about to move. And I see a shift coming in hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How are we doing, Pastor? A couple more minutes? Okay. What are your names?
Brent.
Janet.
Oh, okay. I saw her the other day. Hey, Philippians chapter 3. Paul talks about this. He goes through this whole process and he says, forgetting what is behind, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I just sense in my heart, this is a time of forward press. It's a time for you to press forward. And I feel like you guys are making a way for others. And I feel like what's in my spirit for you is for you to be that bulwark that is pressing forward. And what's coming behind you are people who are maybe a little battered, a little bruised, and God's going to use you to say, hey, follow our lead. You know, it's like Paul said it this way, right? He says, follow me as I follow Christ. It seems like an arrogant statement, but actually it's not. It's a confidence that, hey, I'm walking in the way I should walk. And so I want to say this, tell people, hey, follow us as we follow Christ. You can trust what's going on in our life. You can trust that God is with us and God is here and God is doing miracles. And I believe that you guys are instrumental in this next season to move things forward in people's hearts, to help people who are maybe just a little discouraged, a little unstable. They're going to come behind you and say, if they're doing it. We're walking with them. You open your house and watch what God will do. You're going to be people who will help people get out of disappointment, get out of frustration. You'll speak and you'll prophesy. I know you're on the prophetic group, but you're both going to prophesy. Hey, it's not just her. It's you too. And God says, I'm going to stir you. I'm going to stir you to preach the word and teach the word and remind people of the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God and how God can get them out of their problems. Listen, I don't know what you guys do in the natural, but I just heard family planning and I just hear the Lord say, God's going to use you to help people and help them kind of plan things and get things in order and bring about resolve in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hi guys, what's your names?
Don and Jamie.
Don and Jamie. Awesome. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, do not remember the former things, for behold, I will do a new thing. I just want to say this to you guys, and I think this is a word for the church, if I can say this. So if you're listening, I think this is something that everybody needs to key in. Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not remember the former things. Come on, would you say that with me? Do not remember the former things. Come on, say it again. Do not remember the former things. Five of you said it. Amen. Come on, say it. Everybody say it. Do not remember the former things. Now, if you study that scripture, that also means they were talking about the victories of God, how God brought victories. And God's saying, hey, don't rely on what you knew about me and what I did in the past. For behold, I will do new things. And I want to say this, God's about to do new things here in your spirit and in your heart. And this is a season where God's going to do the impossible. He's going to break through in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, God's calling you guys to be people who will be like, you're going to add to people's lives the thing that's needed in their season. You're going to speak into them. I see you getting together with people. It's almost like this is an illustration, okay? I'm not saying you do this. But you know how cowboys get the lasso? That's what I see you guys. You're like cowboys lassoing people. And I see you grabbing people and saying, hey, come on over here. No, you're not going to go that way. Come on, get back here. Get back in the house of God. Get back into Jesus. You're going to go after people. And God's going to use you and going to give you Godspeed. And you're going to be able to encourage people and put into their hearts what's needed in the season. You're going to pray for people. Sister, you're going to pray for people. There's a healing grace on you. And you're going to pray for people. And you're going to see healing take place. Healing of emotions. Healing of heart. And God's going to use the two of you to help people, strengthen them, and put new faith, new confidence in their spirit that God is able. God is able. God is able. Hey, you know what? God is able. I just heard that in my spirit as I came behind you. God is able. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. And I don't know what you need, but God does. And I'm here to tell you, what's your name?
Julia.
Julia. I'm here to tell you, God is able, sweetheart. God is making a way. What I see, you know, Paul said it this way, right? He said, I think it's in Acts 16, he said, there has opened to me a great and effective door, but there were many adversaries. The adversaries, everybody focuses on the adversaries. The adversaries are an indication there's a great door. And so I'm saying to you, there's a great door that's opened up to you, Julia. And I just want to encourage you to put your trust, your confidence in God, because God is about to do more than you could ever imagine. And I just feel to tell you, don't give up on the dream. Don't give up on the dream. Okay? Like, write the dream. Habakkuk said, write the dream. Make it plain. For it's for another season, but you got to write the dream. So I want to encourage you, get out that journal or that diary. Girls use diaries. And write the dream. Write it, make it clear. Don't give up on the dream, because God is going to be faithful to you. Okay? You be faithful to him, God will be faithful to you. Amen. One more? Do you have somebody you want me to minister to? Let's do these guys. What's your names?
Dan.
Dan.
Alice.
Alice. I don't want to stereotype, but you look like a professor. You just kind of look like that guy that, you know, has interesting facts and details that nobody else has. And I believe that's the wisdom of God, actually, brother. I don't know you. I just sense in my heart that this is a season. You know, the Bible talks about how God has things. He calls them secrets, but he reveals them to certain people. And I just sense in my heart, brother, that God wants to reveal to you his heart and his secrets, and he wants to give you wisdom for the moment, wisdom for the hour. And together as a team, I see the two of you being pillars and strength to people, coming alongside them and with great gentleness and great compassion, speaking wisdom into hearts, and to have the solutions and have the answers to the problems that people are walking through. God is going to anoint you both with such a grace to handle difficult situations, difficult people. And you're going to have the answers. It won't come from just head knowledge. It'll come from the spirit of faith and the spirit of God working in you. And you're gonna hear his voice. Sister, you're going to hear his voice. You're going to hear a voice from behind say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And God will anoint you guys, and you'll be people that others can come to and run to, and you'll find yourself at times coming home saying, I'm exhausted. But there'll be great joy in your heart because you know you've made a difference. You've helped someone along the path, and you're going to be people. What I sense in my heart, and I just heard this phrase, so I'm just going to say it. There are seekers on the path, and you're going to intersect them, and you're going to help them find what they're seeking for. And God is going to give you wisdom to know how
to communicate to them and how to give the solutions that they need. And many will rejoice and many will join that path because of you. And it'll be a great season in Jesus' name. Amen.